Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, BPW number 79. That's Bayis Pnimi, Shir for Women, Shir number 79. We're going to talk again about respect and allowing your husband to complain when he has these complaints is a form of respect. Again, two-way streets. I'm not going to say the whole Agdama like I said many times in the Shiurim, but it is a two-way street, but every person listening needs to work it on their own. So the message when a husband is complaining about something and expresses it to you, by listening and understanding it, you're saying to him that you have a right to your thoughts, you have a right to your feelings. I'm interested to what you have to say. But when you don't allow him to talk, when you don't allow him to issue a complaint, you're really saying that, you know, you're not perfect either. So don't tell me what's wrong with me. I'm not interested in hearing what you're thinking or you're feeling. I'm just not. So, for example, this is a very important example. A husband complains that you never take his suits to the cleaners early enough in the week. So, and let's say that was the assumption based on his working schedule and hers, that that's an achrayis that she was to do. So the way you handle something like that is to accept it by listening careful, acknowledge that you heard it, discuss possible solutions about it, you know, in case you were too busy, whatever it is, to explain it, to address it. But the key really is you never change the subject. Meaning if he tells you that you didn't take his suits to the cleaners early enough in the week, so it's not ready for Shabbos, don't say to him, well, you didn't pick up the milk when I asked you to. If your husband's complaint reminds you of a complaint that you want to mention, make a mental note of it. You wait a few hours, at least a few hours, and then you could bring that up afterwards. But while it's happening, while he's expressing this, in this particular moment, when your husband is addressing this thing, it's disrespectful to throw in something else. You address this subject directly. And how do you handle that subject? So in an example, for example, she gives one an example here, Sarah Radcliffe, very good. Husband says, why is there no clean socks in my drawer? And the wife responds, why is the kitchen sink still leaking? Meaning he has the ability to repair it, let's say he does, and he doesn't do it. And it's dripping, 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 and the bill for the water is going to be bigger because of that, and so on. So this is the incorrect way of responding. This, that he didn't fix the sink that you asked him to for a few days, is a valid concept, a valid thing to bring up, but not now. You wait a few hours, you wait till the next day, and you could bring it up. No problem with that. But right now, he mentioned about the clean socks, or not clean socks. So she needs to respond to that. To either say, I didn't realize it was a problem, I was washing everything in the laundry basket, maybe we need to buy more socks, and so on and so forth, but address it directly. So in other words, not to act defensively and make a counter accusation. That's the common thing to do. The husband complains about one thing, so in the defensive attack, she throws in a counter accusation. It's a natural instinct. You want to preserve your respect, your self-esteem, and the criticism threatens you, so you throw at him something he did wrong. But the idea is, if he's offering a criticism that makes sense, even if you don't feel he's fully right, you want to address it, but you basically work towards it. He's not, for the most part, 90+% of the time, when your husband is saying these things, he's not maliciously trying to hurt you. There's no question about it. His intentions are positive. He could be a little annoyed, whatever it is, but he's not trying to be malicious when he's saying, you know, I would really like you to pick up the suits a little early, you know, take it earlier in the week to the cleaners. Again, when he says that complaint, by the way, on his end, he needs to express it as respectful as possible. If you could do me a favor, and so on and so forth. One idea would be is, do me a favor. You could respond back to him, you're right, and I really should bring it in earlier, but do me a favor, please remind me. Please remind me Sunday night or Monday morning, and I have time to do it, that I should bring the cleaners then, and or you bring the clothing downstairs in this place. I know to bring it with me when I do my errands to go to the cleaners. So, but you address that directly. That is healthy. The accepting of a complaint by listening, and that I heard what you said. I heard what you said. And ask for more information. You know, and then she could explain, because it's not on my mind 24/7, the cleaners, I have so many other things to do. And it's not like I am intentionally waiting till later in the week. It's just that it does, you know, there's a lot going on. And then he could respond, what's a better way to remind you? And then they could work out a solution. But not to say, to change the subject. If he's talking about socks, she doesn't talk about the broken sink right now. She does not. They're not discussing that subject now. There's no hope for proper conflict resolution when he's discussing the socks and she's discussing a broken sink. It's not the appropriate time now to complain about the broken sink. It's not fear of her to answer his criticism with her own complaint. That's disrespectful. Disrespecting his right. It's understood everyone does different things. Yeah, he has to learn not to go bent out of shape if there's no socks in the drawer when she's doing the laundry. He has a right to say, you know, I don't have socks, whatever it is. And then she could respond in kind. If he's being overcritical, then she could express, you're being a little overcritical. Or she could say, for example, I was so busy today, I did put it in. It's in the dryer. I didn't have a chance to pair them. If you really need it, just take it out of the dryer. Whatever the case may be, you deal with it directly. And when you do it directly, then there's a closeness and an understanding. By the way, and that resolves a lot of times the problem. Very often, you know, sometimes there's an oversight. Yes, oh, sorry, I'll do the load now. Then realize we ran out. Or I buy new socks at the first opportunity. And sometimes it's simply where the husband now sees an empty sock drawer. He knows the first thing before even addressing his wife, he'll go to the dryer. And very often he'll open up the dryer and there'll be like 30 socks there. And he's a mature enough person to know, okay, I'll take two of them and pair them up or set that up for tomorrow. And when my wife has time, she'll fold the rest and there's no issue. The talking about it resolves so much of these issues. So that's yisoid number one. That to let the husband express whatever complaint it is, to listen respectfully. If you think of a counter complaint, not to bring it up at that time, wait a few hours or to the next day before bringing that up. Another real important side of establishing respect is you talk about issues, not the personality, and not labeling the person. So when a husband and wife are negotiating, they discuss only the subject at hand. They don't discuss personalities. So for example, if a wife is complaining that her husband forgets to take out the garbage, that's his achrayus, let's say, and she has to rush out early and before the garbage truck comes and carry the heavy bags outside, and it was already accepted that the husband is, this is his job, so she's very annoyed he didn't fulfill his responsibility. So when she is rebuking him, it's okay to call him out and say, you know, you didn't do this, I need you to do this, but not to call him labels, that you're inconsiderate, that you're thoughtless, that you're lazy. These insults show disrespect, cause emotional pain. There's a isser of calling, name calling, and loisainu ishus amisai, and it's a nos devarim. Nothing is accomplished by labeling. He forgot to take out the garbage. Even if he forgot 3 weeks in a row, don't call him thoughtless or lazy or a bum and so on and so forth. If she really would like him to assume responsibility, she should talk, we agreed on this, and you're not doing it is creating a lot of stress, because I have to schlep it out the last minute. Let's work out a solution to do it, but not to psychoanalyze him, not to talk about his character and his midos. In other words, not analyze his motivations. Don't say, if you really cared about me and how I felt, you would have taken out the garbage. Or you put words into his mouth. When you don't take the garbage out, it's your way of telling me you don't like to help out around here. That does nothing to bring the couple closer together. It creates a distance for no reason. For no reason. One way of putting it, for example, would be telling your husband, I'd like you to take out the garbage when you say you will. I'm willing to remind you on the appropriate evenings if you want me to. Stay on the topic that we're talking about. If the topic and the issue is that he is often negligent in taking out the garbage the night when it's supposed to happen, then discuss the topic itself. How are we going to solve this problem? Don't ask why is it behaving this way, that way, the other way. Just discuss that topic itself. And that's very, very important. Name calling is the wrong thing. Leave out the word you. Should be I. For example, she could say, I feel upset. I feel uncomfortable. I feel troubled. I feel very worried. Or I'm not happy about something. That's okay, and you express why that is. But labels, thoughtless, selfish, immature, lazy, mean, it's destructive labels. There's no point in that. In other words, a wife could say, perhaps you didn't realize how I would feel. Or you didn't realize that by you not doing this 3 weeks in a row shows, you know, it really makes me feel, you know, abandoned in a certain way. That she could say. But say you were totally thoughtless and brainless, you don't say that. You see how the Torah avoided unpleasant language, ad kedei kach, that by Noach it says every animal that is not clean versus saying unclean, even though it's shorter. That teaches you to avoid using disgusting or negative language because that could harm a person and it harms a relationship because it is a disrespect there. Careful language conveys deep respect. Careless language conveys deepest disrespect, up to a point of verbal abuse. A tongue is as dangerous as a sharp knife. She could, even if she's extremely upset, if you're extremely upset, you basically tell your husband, I'm too upset to talk, I feel like screaming, and I'm going into my room and we'll discuss this afterwards. So she could be intensely upset and she could express that she's very upset. She doesn't hide it. It's not burying it under the rug. It's not swallowing it. I'm just too upset to talk about it now. I'm going to my own room. We'll discuss this later. That is being careful and responsible. Don't let extreme emotions rule your life. That is really the idea behind this. Another musig, another concept is to speak quietly. Pleasant, everyday voice. Not shouting. Shouting is a lack of respect. It creates anger. Yelling is counterproductive. People think they'll be heard better if they raise their voice. Not true. People think that their statement lacks power unless it's shouted out. That's not true. It needs to be everything done in a calm way. And no rational problem-solving conversation is carried out when people are yelling at each other. You wait if it is yelling. You calm down. Sometimes also, very, very important, that if you're overtired, wait a day or two. This idea of don't be angry, don't make up before going to bed, not always healthy because you're too tired now. You wait. Marriage is not on hold every time an issue needs to be resolved. You could wait if your emotions are strong now. You wait another day till you think more clearly and you're more well rested, and then you talk about it later. By the way, and we talked about this before, it's not really the topic, but people think because you're told that physical intimacy needs to be when they're not upset at each other, but that does not mean that they could that they can't have intimacy or they shouldn't have intimacy when they are in a disagreement and they're putting it on hold till the next day. You could have disagreements and things that even bother you about whatever disagreement there may be, but you could still be intimate that night. It's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction at all. It's basically deciding you're working through an issue and you're going to put it aside. That's not what it means, being angry. So there's no reason to hold back the pattern of life because of a current disagreement that you're just postponing till the next day or two till things are calmer. So the key is not to yell, to be speaking a quiet or calm tone, words being well considered, focusing on the problem, and that helps a tremendous, tremendous, tremendously. So the idea is, again, to speak quietly. We talked about talking about issues, not labeling people with their personality things, and respecting your husband's right to express his complaints and not to change the subject on him. Bracha and Hatzlacha.